Have you ever seen elders do that? Hey, their responsibility to discern. Their responsibility is to discern what God's doing in our midst. And sometimes it isn't always clear. Because maybe he wants a little stir up the coffee, so to speak, you know. Surprise us in what he's going to do. So we really feel that Ricky and Danny are going to be sharing something with us this morning. What a pleasure it is to have young men in our midst that can hear the Lord. So, Father, we thank you for what you've already shared with us in the prophetic and in worship. What a... And the doors, the doors open to the saints. Praise the Lord. Hi, guys, in Zoom land. Got it. So, yeah, what a wonderful thing. I think it's clear that the Lord is speaking to us about what he's going to surprise us with, that the fear of the Lord is not, is no longer a part of who we are. You know, whether we're running away from God or whatever, what our next step might be, maybe we're fearful of that. But we need to be confident, right, to approach the throne of grace. So, Father, we just pray for our brothers that you would give them the word of the Lord, that they would speak to us. In the beginning was the word, and the word was God. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are the word. Amen. Come on up, guys.
Buenos días a todos.
Good morning to everyone.
¿Cómo están?
How are you?
¿Sí están bien?
Are you good?
¿Seguros que están bien?
Are you sure that you're good?
Si tú estás feliz,
if you're happy,
avísale a tu cara.
Let your face to know that.
Estamos muy contentos de estar aquí con ustedes.
We are really happy to be with you here, with you guys.
Gracias. Es una gran bendición cuando venimos a este lugar.
It's a huge blessing to be here in this place.
Hemos aprendido muchas cosas.
We have been learning a lot of things from you guys.
Y son cosas que nos llevamos a México y enseñamos allá también.
And those things are things that we brought to Mexico, or we are bringing to Mexico.
Porque la palabra de Dios dice, da de gracia lo que has recibido de gracia.
Because the word of God says, give, I know the scripture in Spanish, what you receive by grace. Give by grace what you receive. There you go.
Reciban un saludo de la iglesia.
Receive a greeting from
de la Lima.
From our church in La Lima.
Sí. Y antes de empezar quería pedirles también que nos ayudaran a orar.
Before starting the message, I'm going to ask you to for prayers so you can help.
A finales de este mes vamos a tener un congreso en la playa.
At the end of this month, we're going to have a conference in the beach over there.
Y estamos esperando alrededor de 1,000 personas.
And we are expecting around 1,000 people coming.
Y pues, praise the Lord. Y algo que es único en este evento.
And something that is unique in this event.
Es que es totalmente gratis.
Is that it's for free entirely.
Gratis la entrada.
The entrance is for free.
La zona de acampar,
the camping area,
las comidas,
even the meals,
para 1,000 personas,
for 1,000 people,
porque Dios nos puso ese sentir de hacerlo así,
because God put that feeling in our heart to do it like that way,
y queremos ser fiel a Dios,
and we're gonna be faithful to that word that God gave us,
porque lo que más nos importa es que la gente pueda recibir de Dios.
So what it matters to us is that people can receive from God what you want to say.
Entonces, les encargamos las oraciones para este evento.
So we ask your prayers in this event.
Este evento se llama Explosión de Amor.
This event is called Explosión de Amor. That means love explosion.
Gracias. Of love. Sí. Vamos a Filipenses 4.
Let's go to Philippians 4.
Versículos 6 y 7.
Verses 6 and 7. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. It says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus."
Dice el Señor, por nada estén preocupados.
Oh, the Lord is saying, don't be anxious. Be anxious for nothing.
Y me encanta cuando el Señor dice que nada, ¿sí?
And I really love because the Lord is saying, for nothing.
Sí, porque a veces parece como una frase exagerada.
Because sometimes it looks like a exagerada. I guess. Like a big word for nothing.
Pero no, el Señor está hablando claro, está hablando directo.
But the Lord is speaking clearly here.
Que nada te preocupe.
That nothing you have to be worried for nothing.
En esta mañana hay una pregunta.
And this morning I have a question.
¿Qué es lo que te preocupa?
What are you worried for?
Hay muchas cosas.
There are a lot of things around.
Sí, cuando yo estaba dormido.
When I was sleeping.
Y de repente vino esta palabra a mí.
And this word came to me.
Y me dijo el Señor, diles que no les preocupe nada.
And the Lord told me, let them know that don't be worried, don't be anxious for nothing.
Porque yo estoy con ellos.
Because I'm with them.
Y yo les voy a ayudar.
And I'm going to help them.
Yo he hecho milagros antes.
I have done miracles before.
Y los volveré a hacer.
And I'm going to do miracles
en sus vidas.
In your lives.
La palabra preocupación.
The word careful or worry. Yeah.
¿Cómo decirlo? Tiene diferentes formas de verse, ¿no?
It has like a different areas that you can see the word.
Bueno, más que nada la palabra ocupación, perdón.
Well, this is like a Spanish word, preocupación. Like that word in Spanish is like careful or be worried. Yeah, preoccupation. Okay.
Okay. Entonces, preocuparse es sentirse ansioso.
Preoccupate or feel like that is feeling anxious.
De algo que ni siquiera ha pasado.
Of something that didn't happen yet.
Sí. Hay muchas cosas de las que nos preocupamos.
There are a lot of things that we are worried
about. Que nunca van a pasar.
They're never going to happen.
Sí, es verdad.
Is that right?
Y el Señor te dice, no te preocupes.
And the Lord says, don't be worried about those things.
Porque quizás no van a pasar.
Because maybe they're not going to happen never.
¿Ah? Entonces, solamente ocúpate.
Just occupy yourself.
Ocúpate en lo que tú puedes hacer.
In what you can do.
Y lo demás,
and the rest of
yo
that,
lo haré, dice el Señor.
I will do it.
Sí. Dice, por nada estén preocupados.
Say, don't be anxious for nothing.
La preocupación te quita fuerzas.
Being worried take your strengths off of you.
Te quita el gozo de Dios.
Take the joy off of you.
Sí, te quita la alegría de vivir.
Take the happiness of living.
Y es lo que el enemigo quiere robarte.
And this is what the enemy want to take you away from you.
No lo dejes que te robe.
Don't let him to rob you that.
Porque el gozo del Señor es nuestra fuerza.
The joy of the Lord is our strength.
Amen. Dice, si no te preocupes por nada, sino que sean conocidas tus oraciones delante de mí.
Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication.
A Dios le gusta que le digamos qué es lo que está pasando en nuestras vidas.
The Lord loves that we can tell him what is happening in our lives.
Dios quiere escuchar lo que nos preocupa.
He wants to listen what are we worried for.
Porque Él quiere ver que nosotros estamos rendidos a Él.
Because he wanna see that we are surrendered to Him.
Que nosotros somos dependientes de Él.
That we are dependent on Him.
Entonces, si algo te preocupa,
so if something is you are being worried about it,
solamente habla con el Señor.
Just go to the Lord and talk to him.
Entrégalo al Señor.
And give it to him.
Sí, y él se va a encargar de tu problema.
And he will be in control of this situation, problem.
Dice que sean conocidas vuestras oraciones, peticiones delante de Dios con toda oración y ruego.
By prayer and supplication.
Sí. Entonces eso es lo que tenemos que hacer, orar, rogar, pedirle al Señor.
What we have to do, to pray and supplicate to the Lord.
Y después dice con acción de gracias.
And then says with thanksgiving.
Es como por ejemplo, imagínate que tú vas, alguien va cargando una bolsa pesada.
So imagine this, somebody is like taking like a heavy bag.
Y está cargando ese peso sobre su cuerpo.
And he is like taking this.
Y llega con alguien más.
And he come to someone else.
Y la persona dice, hey, yo te ayudo.
And the other person say, hey, I want to help you.
Entonces yo le doy la carga.
So I give this guy the heavy bag.
Y digo, gracias.
And I say, thank you.
¿Sí? Entonces cuando pedimos a Dios,
so when we ask something to the Lord,
después de pedir,
after asking,
tenemos que decir, gracias.
We have to say, thank you.
¿Okay?
Okay.
Sí. Porque cuando hacemos eso,
because
gracias,
when we do that, we give thank you.
Estamos creyendo que
we
Dios está tomando nuestras cargas.
Our situations, our problems.
Sí. Es por fe.
It's by faith.
Y a Dios le agrada la fe.
And God loves faith.
Sí. Es algo que más le agrada.
And this is one of the things that he is more happy about it.
Y después dice en el 7, y la paz de Dios que sobrepasa todo entendimiento.
And then in the 7 says, and the peace of God which surpasses all understanding,
guardará vuestros corazones,
will guard your hearts,
y vuestros pensamientos,
and minds,
en Cristo
through
Jesús.
Christ Jesus.
¿Cuántos quieren la paz de Dios?
How many of you want the peace of God?
¿Cuántos necesitan hoy la paz de Dios?
How many from you need the peace of God today?
Sí. Solamente tienes que venir.
You only have to come.
Decirle tus peticiones.
And to bring your petitions, your needs to him.
Gracias.
And to say thank you.
Y descansar.
And to rest.
Y la paz vendrá a tu vida.
And the peace of God will come to your life.
Sencillo, ¿no?
It's simple.
Sí. Esa es una parte de la palabra que me ha bendecido mucho.
This is a part of the scripture that has been blessing me a lot.
Yo recuerdo hace unos años.
I remember years ago.
Estaba en una ciudad.
I was in a city.
Viajando para servir al Señor.
To serve the Lord.
Y no tenía dinero.
And I didn't have any money with me.
Y yo necesitaba 3,000 pesos en ese momento.
And at that moment I was needing 3,000 pesos, Mexican pesos.
Y no tenía nada de dinero.
And I didn't have any money.
Estaba en otra ciudad.
I was in other city.
No tenía nadie que pedirle dinero.
I didn't have anybody to ask for money.
Y yo tengo una tarjeta de banco.
And I have a bank card.
Y fui al banco.
And I went to the
yo
bank.
Yo sabía que no tenía dinero.
To the ATM and I knew it that I didn't have any money.
De todas maneras la metí.
But I put my card.
Chequé,
and I checked,
y no había nada.
No money was there.
Entonces me iba so para afuera.
And I was like running away.
Y empecé a orar a Dios.
And I started praying to
Señor,
the Lord.
Necesito 3,000 pesos.
Lord, I need 3,000 pesos.
Tú sabes que no siempre te pido estas cosas.
You know that I don't ask you often this kind of things.
Pero necesito en este momento.
But I need in this moment.
Y cuando ibas antes de salir de la puerta,
before leaving the door, the ATM door,
Dios me habla y me dice,
the Lord spoke to me,
regrésate,
and said, go back,
y vuelve a meter la tarjeta,
and put your card in.
Y yo le dije al Señor, no, porque no tengo dinero.
And I said to the Lord, no, because I don't have money.
Acabo de ver que no tengo nada.
I just checked and I didn't have any money.
Y el Señor volvió a decirme,
and the Lord talked to me again.
Ve y mete la tarjeta.
Go and put the card in.
Y tuve que obedecer.
And I had to obey.
Y fui y la metí.
So I went and I put my card in.
Y cuando vi,
and when I saw, and
tenía
I saw,
15,000 pesos.
I have 15,000 pesos.
En ese momento.
In that moment.
¿Qué pasó?
What happened?
El Señor puso ese dinero.
It was the Lord. to put that money in.
Y yo todavía no creía que estaba el dinero ahí.
And I couldn't believe that the money was there.
Y entonces dije, voy a sacar los 3,000 pesos que
so
necesito.
I say, I'm going to take the 3,000 pesos that I need. And I did this.
Wow, 3,000 pesos.
3,000 pesos.
Y todavía en la pantalla se te quedan 12,000.
And in the screen says you have 12 more.
Fue increíble.
It was unbelievable.
Y ese ejemplo lo doy.
And I'm giving you this example.
Porque Dios quiere hacer lo mismo en tu vida.
Because the Lord wants to do the same in your life.
Pero tú tienes que creerlo.
But you have to believe it.
Tú tienes que confiar.
You have to trust.
Que el Dios que tú tienes,
that the Lord that you have, the es, God that you have,
es el creador de todo.
Is the creator of everything.
Ese es tu proveedor.
He is your provider.
Nada te faltará.
And nothing you're gonna need.
En todas las áreas de tu
in
vida.
In all the areas in your life.
Quizás tú en esta mañana estás preocupado por tus hijos, por tus
maybe
nietos.
Maybe today you are worried about your children, your grandchildren.
Te preocupa una enfermedad
maybe
que te acaban de diagnosticar.
A sickness that you has been diagnosed.
Estás preocupado porque no sabes qué hay de qué va a seguir adelante de ti.
Maybe you're worried because you don't know what is coming in the future.
Y el Señor te dice,
and the Lord is telling you,
no te preocupes.
Don't be worried.
Solo pídeme.
Just ask me.
Y dame gracias.
And give me thanks.
Y disfruta.
And enjoy.
De la paz mía.
Of the peace of mine.
Esa paz que no puedes entender.
That peace that you cannot understand.
Pero que te va a abrazar.
But gonna embrace you.
Que te va a llenar.
And gonna fill you.
Y te va a dar esperanza.
And gonna give you hope.
Amen.
Amen.
Ya por último, una cosa más.
And I have another thing to share.
De repente, cuando ya tienes la paz de Dios, ¿no?
Suddenly, when you have the peace of God.
Por ejemplo, hoy muchos van a salir con la paz de Dios a sus casas.
Like today, you're going to receive and you're going to go to your homes with that peace.
Pero el enemigo va a querer robar eso.
But the enemy always want to take that away from you.
Y algo que el Señor me decía muy importante.
But something that the Lord was telling me really important.
Es que tienes que saber perdonar.
Is you need to know how to forgive.
Sí, es muy importante perdonar.
It's really important to forgive.
Sí, hay una historia en la Biblia.
There is a story in the Bible.
Y que me gusta mucho.
That I really like.
Y habla de José, el soñador.
It's talking about Joseph, the dreamer.
Cuando ya está en Egipto, ya es el segundo después de Faraón.
When he was in Egypt, and he is the second of the king.
Y sus hermanos están ahí.
And his brothers are there.
Y sus hermanos no le pidieron perdón.
And his brothers, they didn't ask for forgiveness.
Y muere su papá de ellos.
And his father died.
Y ellos están preocupados porque dicen, ahora que murió papá, José va a hacer algo con nosotros.
Maybe now that my dad passed away, maybe Joseph gonna do something to us.
Y van y le dicen unas mentiras a José.
And they lie to Joseph.
Y le dice, mi papá antes de morir nos dijo que, en pocas palabras, que nos trataras bien.
And they say, oh, my dad before he passed away, he told us that you have to treat us well. Now.
Y José sabía que no era verdad.
And Joseph knew that this wasn't true.
Sabía que ellos no se habían arrepentido.
He knew that they didn't repent of what they did before.
Pero él les dice, no se preocupen, yo no voy a ser quien los juzgue.
And he say, don't worry, I'm not gonna be the one who's gonna judge.
Dios los va a juzgar.
God gonna judge you.
Entonces hay cosas que son difíciles de perdonar.
So there are things that are really hard to forgive.
Entonces, si tú hoy recibes la paz de Dios,
so if today you receive the peace of God,
sales,
and you go out,
pero no has perdonado a algunas personas,
but you haven't forgiven some people,
esa paz se va a ir.
That peace is gonna go away.
Necesitas,
you need
perdonar,
to forgive.
No importa lo que te hicieran.
It doesn't matter what they did to you.
No importa lo que te dijeron.
It doesn't matter what they said to you.
Necesitas perdonar.
You have to forgive.
Y por último, la historia que yo creo que todos conocemos.
And the story that most of us know.
Del hombre que le debía mucho a su señor.
The man who was debía mucho. owed a lot to this master, his master.
Y el Señor lo llama a cuentas.
And the master has called him.
Y le dice, págame.
And say, pay me.
Y él dice, no, dame más tiempo.
And he say, no, no, please give me more time.
No, no, págame, págame.
And he say, no, pay me right now.
Pero el Señor fue movido a misericordia.
But the master moved by mercy.
Y lo perdonó.
And he forgave him.
Y entonces le había perdonado una gran deuda.
So he forgave a huge debt.
Y salió muy contento de ese lugar.
And he was really happy.
Yo me imagino que iba brincando.
I can imagine that he was jumping.
Y tenía la paz de Dios.
And with the peace of God.
Y estaba contento.
And he was really happy.
Y abrazaba a todos.
He was hugging everybody around.
Y de repente,
and suddenly,
ve a uno que le debía dinero.
He see one who was in debt with him.
Y se le va la paz.
And
se
the
acaba.
Peace finished in that moment.
Y le dice, hey, págame lo
and
que
he
me
say,
debes.
Pay me what you owe me.
Que era una deuda muy pequeña.
It was a small debt.
Muy pequeña.
Really small debt.
Y el otro le dice las mismas palabras que él había dicho.
The same words that he used before with his master.
Dame tiempo,
give
yo te voy a
time,
pagar.
I'm gonna pay you.
Y él dice, no, 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 págame
no,
ahora.
Pay me right now.
Entonces no le puede pagar.
So he couldn't pay him.
Y lo mete a la cárcel.
He put that man in jail.
Sí. Y entonces el señor que le había perdonado.
So the master who
escucha la historia.
He listened the story. What happened?
Que no perdonó.
He didn't forgive.
Y entonces lo vuelve a llamar.
So he called him again.
Y le dice, me vas a pagar todo lo que me debes.
And he said, now you're gonna pay me all the debt that
y a la
you
cárcel.
Have with me. And you're going to the jail.
Es lo mismo que pasa cuando no perdonamos.
It's the same thing that happened when we don't forgive.
Es lo mismo cuando Dios nos perdonó tanto.
The Lord has been forgiving us for so many things.
¿O acaso no te perdonó tanto el Señor?
¿O acaso? Uh-huh. Or the Lord, ¿cómo le dices acaso? No. ¿O Dios no te ha perdonado a ti?
Sí, sí.
It's a question. ¿O the Lord haven't forgive you for the things that you have been done? Sorry.
¿Sí te ha perdonado mucho?
The Lord forgive.
¿Eh?
Ayúdame. Yeah.
Entonces, si Dios te ha perdonado tanto,
so the Lord forgive you before a lot.
Tú tienes que perdonar las pequeñas deudas.
You have to forgive the small debts
de otras personas.
Of other people.
Si tú quieres seguir viviendo,
if you wanna keep living
en esa paz de Dios,
in that peace of God.
Okay. Entonces hoy es un buen día.
So today is a good day.
Para recibir la paz de Dios.
To receive the peace of God.
Para darle gracias al Señor.
To give thanks to the Lord.
Para llevar todas nuestras peticiones delante de él.
To bring all our petitions or our needs in front of him.
Y perdonar a todos aquellos que nos han hecho algo malo.
And to forgive to all the people that has been done something to us.
No importa lo que hayan hecho.
Doesn't matter what they did.
Te conviene perdonar.
It's good for you or te conviene.
Te conviene perdonar.
Yes, beneficial to you.
Los más beneficiados cuando perdonamos.
The more benefit. Yeah.
Somos nosotros.
We are like the ones who receive more benefit when we forgive is us.
Porque quizás los que nos faltaron al respeto o nos hicieron algo malo.
Because the people who did something wrong to us.
Ellos no recuerdan nada.
They don't remember anything.
Ellos están en la playa.
They are on the beach.
Con una coca.
With a coke.
Y disfrutando de su vida.
Enjoy their lives. Enjoying their lives.
Y tú no tienes paz.
And you don't have peace.
Tú necesitas ser inteligente.
You need to be smart.
Sí. Y perdonar.
And to forgive.
Para que Dios te pueda perdonar.
So the Lord can forgive you.
Es todo. Dios les bendiga.
That's it. What I want to share. God bless you. Thank you for your patience with my language.
Good morning, Saints. Paul just asked me if I need an interpreter, but he doesn't realize I am bilingual. When I moved to Manchester from Youngstown, Ohio. I grew up in a predominantly black environment, so, you know, the playgrounds, we played on the city we come from, you know, was different. So I'm playing basketball up in Manchester, probably there about a month or so, and met some of the, you know, other ball players there. I'm the only black guy on the court. So when I was getting ready to leave, I felt so at home. I told my friends, hey, guys, I'm about to kick out of here to the crib. So my friend Tom says, Mike, what did you just say? I said, oh, I forgot where I'm at. I said, I'm about to leave and go to my abode. And so I am bilingual. So, Paul, I don't need an interpreter. You guys need an interpreter. Don't we serve a mighty God? I love the Lord, saints. I really enjoyed Ricky and Danny. And I got to tell you, I promise you, I did not read his notes, and he did not read my notes. But we are filled by the same Holy Spirit. Watch this. So pray with me for a minute. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you so very much, oh Father God. Lord, I consider it an honor and a privilege to stand before your people and share, Lord, what I believe you've put on my heart. I ask that you would give us all the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Lord, reveal to us what it is you would have us get from this word today. And Lord, give us the wisdom to know how to apply it to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. First, I want to thank. This has been a good 3 days. Has it been 3 days? I want to stay another week in what God is doing. I really want to thank Bill and Karen. They have been incredible hosts and hostesses. I felt like, you know, that was my crib, or my house, my abode. I so enjoyed the fact that, you know, not only did they give us our own bedroom and bathroom, but we had the whole first floor. I woke up every morning that I've been here, and she had a coffee set. All I had to do was hit the button, make my coffee. I went in and sat and prayed. And it felt like I belonged there. They made us feel right at home. Then to interact with all of us during these last couple of days, I love you guys. I don't say that passing. I really mean that. I love what God and how he's moving here in this assembly. You're going to find, saints of God, that as things begin to unfold, as we're seeing around the nation, around the world, there's a purpose God is doing in you, what he's doing these last couple of days. And I'll try my best to share what that is. So if you can turn with me, I've got a couple of scriptures that we'll read through and a couple of things I threw in there, and then we'll let the Holy Spirit really move upon us. Amen? So turn with me to John chapter 17. And we are going to begin at the 13th verse. I hear the pages turning, so you guys must don't have an iPad like I got. So so if you still turn your pages, we'll wait. Who all has an iPad? Raise your hand. Okay, so we the real cool folks. So the rest of y'all that's turning your pages, we'll wait. Oh. Okay, you're old school. What if you have both? That's good. That is good. All right, here we go, saints. It reads, "But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world so that they may have my joy made full in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world. Even as I am not of the world, I do not ask you to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. For their sakes I sanctify myself, that they themselves also may be sanctified in truth. I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but for those who believe in me through your word, that they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, and they also may be in us, so that the world may believe you sent me. I want to share with you from this title, Not Until You Let Go. During the last couple of days, and especially yesterday, as the service was going forth, Paul had gotten up again to exalt us. Owen came behind him. What the Lord was showing me is, as that was going on in the spirit, there were things in our heart that the Lord was exposing and releasing in the spirit. But in our minds, there were many took those things back, and they placed them right back in their heart. What that meant was that there are reasons that many of us are not able. Actually, let me back up. What the Lord was showing me, let me start with this first, is that when I look at Donnie, he just stood before us on, what is it, Thursday night. Owen has come up and shared with us on since we've been here. Wayne, Elder Paul have all come before us. It is so easy over time as we're being fed, and as, they're imparting to us, that we sometimes feel, well, that's their job. That's what they do. I can't do that. Or we may feel sometimes, and here's what the Spirit of the Lord was showing me with many of us, that I wish I can do that. But who's going to listen to me? Well, what the Lord was showing me as these things were popping out that he was exposing in us, he was saying, not until you let go. Well, Donnie read on yesterday the scripture, which really confirmed in my spirit what the Lord was showing me, Romans 12, 1 and 2. But Romans 2 says this, saints, once we have come to know Jesus, right, as our Savior and Lord, he says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove the will of God, what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. What is the first thing today we need to let go of? Is your time. Time for what? Time to pray and spend time in God's word. The Bible tells us, Paul says in 2 Timothy 2:15, to study, to show yourselves approved, a workman unto whom? Huh? Unto whom? Unto God, right? Why? He says here that we would not be ashamed, but accurately handling the word of truth. He says, but avoid worldly and empty chatter, for it will lead only to further ungodliness. And what I'm seeing in the body of Christ, saints of God, we have spent less time truly not only reading and studying God's word, but really spending intimate time alone with the Lord. So that those things that we're holding on to that prevents us from doing what God has called us all to do, that is to minister. Yours may not to be standing here behind the pulpit. Yours may be to be dealing and being that light in your home. Yours may be that light at your job. Yours may be on the bus or the train, being that light and ministering to somebody right there in the moment. Jesus taught us how to pray. We saw throughout Jesus' ministry, even the scripture I just read in Matthew, Jesus has such an intimate relationship with the Father. He spent time with the Father. In fact, one of my favorite scriptures says that a long while before day, Jesus departed to a solitary place to pray. Until you and I truly get to a place where we are making time to spend intimate time alone with the Lord, we are making time to open up God's word. And not just read, but study God's word. I find often Christians, and my proof of this is what I see on Facebook, that we spend more time chattering about things that are going on in the world, about what they are doing and what they are doing and what they are doing, and all it does is leads us to more ungodliness. Psalms 100, I think it's Psalms, or is it Proverbs, maybe, that says, I can't think of which one it is. He says, but blessed is a man who does not sit or sit in the counsel of the ungodly, stand in the way of the sinners, or sit in the seat of the scornful. Psalm 1, right? You see the order of that? He said, blessed is the man who does not seek the counsel of the ungodly. Because if we go after godly and counsel, what are we going to get? Godly wisdom, right? He says then, because there's what I find about that is there is a progression that happens. Because after we get the godly counsel, we then stand in the way of sinners, meaning that, you know what? That was a good word that he said. We find ourselves going after more ungodly counsel. And that's so you know, we're doing and standing, feeling comfortable and familiar with not seeking God, but seeking man's counsel. And then he said, and do not sit in the seat of the scornful. Because what ends up happening, the more we're spending time getting ungodly counsel, standing in the way of sinners, in other words, rubbing shoulders, doing and following the things that they do, we end up being the ones that are being scornful. Why am I going to church anyway? Why do I need to pray? Come on, somebody. Doesn't the word says, 3:16, all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. Let me ask us a question, saints. How often do we go to God's word for teaching, for reproof, for corrections, for training in our own lives, for righteousness? If we're doing it, I'm telling you today, we need to do even more. Glory, hallelujah. So the first thing we need to let go of is our time. What else do we need to let go of? How about your attachment to the world? 1 John says 2:15, do not love the world nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. The world is passing away, and also its lust, but the one who does the will of God lives forever. So here are some things the Lord had pressed upon me this morning as I find and talk about what's happening and the things we need to let go in the world is, how about man's ideologies and philosophies? How about those other gospels? The prosperity gospel, the word of faith gospel. I've came out of those saints. And those focuses aren't on the things of God, they're on the things of the world. Hallelujah. I remember before I met Owen, In New Testament Christian Fellowship, my family that I love so dearly. My wife and I were in a church, and we knew that this was, church that we would soon be leaving because God was doing some things and showing us some things, and there were some battles. And one of the things that Lord had showed me, he said that what is coming is going to expose the body of Christ and is going to show the heart of America. I didn't understand it at the time, saints. I didn't. This was pre-pandemic. This was before. This was before the last 4 years. I know we are upset about who's in office now, but I have to tell you right now, if God is not in the office, we're going to have some issues. So I don't care who's in office right now as president. But what the Lord was showing, he said, and as the in fact, is Don Rumble here? I remember Owen, that you guys were at that meeting, and Don, your mother, you guys were meeting. What did she say? Sharpen a point? Remember that? Storm's coming. This was pre-pandemic. This is before I met them at this point, but this was almost a year ago before I came to the Lord and said, what's coming is going to expose the body of Christ, and it's going to show the heart of America. So my wife and I, we're in New Testament at this point, and Owen and I are at this meeting, and he talks about this thing happening. All of a sudden, the pandemic happened. God gave Owen all of this series, and then through that process, God had given some words to us, and it prepared us as we were going through the pandemic. Then we had George Floyd, situation that happened, which the whole world witnessed. We had the pandemic. We had the political struggles that was going forth. What the Lord began to show me, what exposed the body of Christ, is that we had responded to the things that were going on just like the world. He said, and then what showed the heart of America, saints of God, was right here in the scripture. It was the pride of life, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, saints of God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And before that time, before we left that church, just as I left that church, the Lord said, and this was now the real issue, a part of the other issue that exposed the body of Christ and showed the heart of America. He said that the political thing that was going to come forth, it was going to draw a divided line right down the middle of the body of Christ. Obama was just leaving, and Donald Trump came in. The body of Christ didn't necessarily vote, saints, on a political as much as it was racial. And we were divided right down the middle. I don't care what the world was happening in the world, but at the time the Lord said, this is going to divide the body of Christ. I thank God for what I see and hear in this congregation as I met Owen, because had those things happened then where I was, I may have chosen a side too. But as I got to know Owen and that body and begin to learn the things that God was showing and had been doing in me, which other pastors were not cultivating, God was able to let me see clearly in the spirit of the things that he was doing. Saints of God, this is all of us. Hallelujah. What's coming? If I can share prophetically, saints of God, God is preparing you and I. Not all of us will do his work standing behind the pulpit, saints of God. Many of us, God is going to use to bring that light to our families, to bring that light to folks on our job. We may be in Walmart. Do you have a Walmart here? Okay. You may be in Walmart to bring that light to somebody. Hallelujah. But it won't be based on the worldly things, ideologies and philosophies and gospels, except the gospel of Jesus Christ. So that's the second thing you're going to have to let go of, is your attachment to the world. Am I all right? Yes. Glory, hallelujah. What is the third thing you're not going to have to let go of? And I wrote it down here, the hidden hides in your heart. You ever watched, I was a big fan of the dinosaur movie, I forgot what it's called now, Jurassic Park, the second one, when he made that high hide, where he created this escape where they can rise up and see the dinosaurs coming from off a distance. He called it a high hide. I call this the hidden hides, the things that we hide in our heart, the things that we have not allowed God to really deal with in our hearts. What are those things? My brother spoke of it earlier. Is it unforgiveness? Could it be bitterness? Could it be hatred? Hallelujah. Let me read you this scripture. Here's Jeremiah in prayer with the Lord. And if you read the chapter or the verses before that, then come to this area right here. Here was the Lord is saying, the heart is more deceitful than all else and desperately sick. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give to each man according to his ways, according to the result of his deeds. Saints of God, you know one thing I've learned about being a Christian? In front of you, I can seem like a deep man of God. I can articulate things in such a way, I can act in such a way that make you think I am quite a man of God. But the Bible says that God doesn't look on the outside. He looks at the heart. Hallelujah. We can be as spiritual and as loving as we want to, but there's certain things that we need to allow God to expose in our heart that we may repent so he can truly and freely use you. You want an example? Okay, you do? I'll give you an example. Right. I thought I was talking to myself here for a minute. Here's a perfect example. I shared this a couple of days ago in the workshop. Last time I was pulled over by the police, DWB, driving while black. You ever heard that? And many times before, Saints, I've been pulled over from the first time I got my driver's license up until this time. My two sons, when they got their driver's license, I gave them the talk. The talk is, as a person of color, man of color, when your boys get your driver's license, you sit them down and say, listen, it's not a matter if you get pulled over, but when you get pulled over, put your hand, especially if it's at night, we were told, put your hands on the steering wheel, turn on the light, and don't move until the officer tells you to move. And when he tells you to get your identification, you tell him, I'm reaching into, this is the talk that we had. And it was necessary, because I've been pulled over many times for no other reason but being tall, dark, and handsome, although he didn't know how tall I was because I was sitting, but been pulled over for that very reason. Well, this last time that it happened to me, I was either in Bedford or I can't remember, but one of those cities where someone like me, according to him, shouldn't have been. He came over, pulled me over, came to the car, extremely rude, Saints of God. I mean, rude, just rude. And I knew what was happening, but we're told you be polite and you know, yes, officer, so on and so on. Once the car was identified that it did belong to me, my license showed that I was who I was, he still did not change his attitude. He was absolutely terrible. And by the way, I was a minister in the gospel when this happened, at least 15 or so years. So when something like that happens, you play in your mind all the other incidents like that, right? Because they just don't go away. They stay right here, right? And as I'm driving away, I'm angry, I'm hurt, I feel about that big. Well, I'm playing in my mind all the things I wish I can do to that police officer, bad things. And as I got to the worst thing that I wish I could have done, I heard the Spirit of the Lord say so deep in here, Michael, what if I sent you to minister to that police officer? Immediately the Lord said, Michael, you've been sincere since you've come to my son Christ. He said, but you've been a black Christian. I need you to be a Christian as black. The Lord began to show me. He said, Michael, I created you this way. I made you in my image, but I've created you the way that I've done. He said, I told you to love me with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Immediately, Saints of God, the revelation hit me. Hallelujah. That if God made me this way, in his image, but this is how I look, then no matter how anyone made me feel as a result of this, I am to love myself because this is the way he created me. And if I can do that, I can then love someone else from a different ethnic background, just like he loved me. As I went on, the peace that came upon me because of that revelation, I fully begin to understand, because there's other things the Lord began to open to me, Saints of God, and there's some of you, he's trying to do this with you now, because there's certain things in our heart. I was a minister of the gospel. I had this bitterness and hatred in my heart, right? And it would show its ugly head when something like that would happen to me. I didn't want to pray for any white men. I didn't want to deal with white folk. But I'm married to a white man, so what, I don't go home? Right? So do you see how the things in our heart that we hide away, yours might not be an ethnic issue. Yours may be, you know what, because they're another political affiliation, I'm not dealing with that person. Because they have more money than me, I'm not, whatever it is in your heart, you're going to have to let go of it in order for the Lord to deal with you. So if you don't know what those things are, I suggest you do what David did in Psalms 139. He said, Lord, search my heart. Try my anxious thoughts and see if there be, and the King James Version says, any wicked way in me. But this version says, if there be any hurtful way in me, and lead me into the everlasting way. Hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. So now that we at least these three things we know we got to let go of is our time. We got to let go of the attachment we have to the world. The Bible says that Jesus said his kingdom is not of this world, right? We live in this world, saints, but we're no longer of this world. Hallelujah. We can no longer hang and attach ourselves to this world. I'm not saying don't get involved in politics. That's not what I'm saying. What I am saying, because they asked Jesus, should we pay taxes? Jesus said, who's on that coin? Caesar. He said, well, render to Caesar what Caesar's, and to God what's God. So there's a balance. But I think some of us have been out of balance. Is that a good word? Is out of balance or in balance? I don't know which one it is. But it ain't been balanced right. And then we got to let God expose those things in our hearts that we like I said, I can make, and I am a man of God. I think I'm an okay man of God. I'm still growing. I'm still learning. But I can make you think I'm deep. But if I've got things hidden in my heart, you won't see it. God sees it. Hallelujah. Now, as you've dealt with those three areas, saints of God, now you're better equipped to do this. Matthew 5:14-16 says, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket. And see, that's what's happened. And I believe unintentionally, we get the light of Christ in us, but we don't fully allow the Lord to do the work in us he wants to do. One, we don't take the time we need to spend alone with the Lord and the time we need to really read and study his word. We're too attached to the world's mindset. Paul said, don't conform to the world anymore, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And so we got this cover on us. We put our light under, a bushel, But as we move those things out of the way, as we allow the Lord to expose those things in our heart, we can truly let our light shine. And as I said earlier, it may not be standing behind the pulpit, saints of God. Jesus didn't stay in one place and preach, right? He didn't minister the same way throughout the gospel. Some he hung out and ate with. Hallelujah. Some he walked past and healed. Some, like the lady at the well, he spent a little bit of time with one-on-one. Hallelujah. In my opinion, he didn't want the disciples with him because he knew the distraction he would have with the disciples. I play with this a lot, since I say, I can see in my mind's eye, right? Jesus knowing he's got, the Bible said he must go to Samaria, right? I can see in my mind's eye Jesus and the disciples, listen, Jesus, when they knew he was going to Samaria, look, Lord, we know you can walk on water. We know you done brought a few people from the dead, but Jesus, what you don't know, we don't deal with them Samaritans, right? What's my proof? Because I think when they came, the Bible says when they came back, none of them asked, why is he talking to this woman? They knew what time it was. I'm not going to bother. I'm just going to let Jesus do what Jesus do. Jesus, which is what we need to do, we need to discern, Lord, how do you want to use me in this way? But if we have put our light under a bushel, or if we not allowed ourselves to fully be transformed, God cannot use us. Now, here's my ending. Proverbs 18:16 says, a man's gift makes room for him and brings him before great men. Saints of God, standing before you, I'm just a little dude, right? Very simple, plain, good looking, but very simple, plain. Ask my wife, she'll tell you. Tell him, Diane. Nothing wrong with this. I know Owen and Donnie has written many books. I don't have any books to sell you out in the lobby after this, right? I don't have any claim to fame. I have no worldly claim to fame. If you mention my name somewhere in New York, nobody's probably ever heard of Michael Worsley. but in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Because of the gifts that you and I have, listen what God has done. Here's a testimony that I'm going to be done. Here's a guy, the least political guy you'll ever meet. I vote, but I'm not into politics. Would that make me apolitical? How you say that? Would that, you know, I vote, but I'm not into politics. But I'm a man of God. I'm a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I am filled by the power of the Holy Spirit. And in that time, God put my wife and I in front of the governor's wife of New Hampshire, Valerie Sununu. And because of the situation and the prayer that we were there, we were in a position to lead her to the Lord. Somebody ought to say amen. Amen. In that moment, when she accepted Christ, she immediately fell down on her knees and began to pray in the Holy Ghost. Me and Diane. And then watch what God does. When she gets up, hallelujah, she says, you know, as I was praying in that funny way, she says, I saw these angels fly out from the floor. I said, hold up, First Lady. I called her First Lady. I said, hold up, First Lady. Because what I didn't tell you is a week prior to that, Diane was invited to a woman's prayer to pray for the governor's wife. As Diane was sitting, she said she discerned in the spirit, she sensed there was some demonic presence in a room over to her left. She told me about it, and the woman who set up this whole prayer with Valerie asked if I would come up to pray and just cast out demons. And I'm, you know, at the church I was at the time, I asked the pastor, because when I go, I'm representing that church, and I got his permission to do so, and I went up. My intent was just to go walk around, cast out some demons, and wait for Diane in the car. I get there. I had no clue. I never met the governor's wife. I only think I've ever seen her. Again, I'm not into politics. I was expecting, if I can be honest, some really short, overweight, middle-class white woman. That's what I was looking for. Honest to God, truth. I get there. Pam sees me coming, and she says, oh, Michael, come meet Valerie. Come meet Valerie. So I'm walking up, and around the corner comes this young, vibrant woman dressed in an oversized sweatshirt and blue jeans. I'm like, really? This is the governor's wife? I was disappointed. Then I go to shake her hand. She embraces me. I'm like, okay, this is real. This is real, right? She invites me to sit down and eat. And you know, I'm not going to say no to that, especially when I saw that spread. So I'm sitting down, I'm eating, they're sitting in a circle. She begins to share something, and she shared one thing, and I heard her. Here's what my ears pricked, Paul. She said that when she was about 8 years old, she saw this angel come into her room. Soon as she said that, my ears pricked, the Spirit of the Lord said, no, you tell her what that was. I raised my hand. I said, First Lady, I said, I was listening to you. The Spirit of the Lord wants me to share with you what that was that you saw. I told her the scripture where the Bible says that if Satan can present himself as an angel of light, then his angels can present themselves as angels of righteousness. I said, First Lady, that wasn't an angel. That was a demonic spirit. Hallelujah. The Lord began to download stuff about her life. I'm telling her stuff. You should see the look on her face, like most of yours right now. You see the look on her face. So I said, First Lady, if you want me to stop, she said, no, please. But before I went on, the Spirit of the Lord said, ask her, has anybody ever told her about accepting my son, Jesus Christ? And when I did, she said, no, I don't know anything about that. I said, we can do something about that right now. Got my wife, we led her to the Lord. Hallelujah. When she got up and talked about what she saw flying out, she said they were angels. I said, First Lady, those were not angels. I said, as a child of the Most High God, you have the authority in this home. I said, those demonic spirits knew they had to go. Somebody ought to say amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Little me and Diane, who God used, but he wasn't done. Can I tell him, Owen? Yes. He wasn't done, saints of God. Hallelujah. I end up meeting the governor at a breakfast. We had a governor's luncheon, or he had a governor's luncheon, invited all the pastors. It wasn't good. I won't get into a whole lot about that. But at the end of it, he walked up to me and my wife. I thought he was walking to come talk to somebody behind us, so I moved And he said, pastor, he said, would you mind coming over to my office? He said, I would love to continue our conversation, maybe just about 30 minutes or so. I said, absolutely, Governor, I would love so. 2 weeks or so later, I get a time to come in, go to his office. Do you know how long I sat in his office? An hour and a half. You know what we talked about? I answered questions he had about the Word of God. Glory, hallelujah. Owen and I spent time because what ended up happening from there developed this relationship between he and I where we would sit down and have lunch and he would just ask questions about how do you bring God into my family? How do I bring God into my home? And I'm just sharing with him the gospel of Jesus Christ. Nothing about politics. Hallelujah. He did not see a Democrat or Republican, but he saw the power in the Spirit of God. In the light of Christ on the inside of me. Glory, hallelujah. And a year later, saints of God, on August the 28th, 2019, I led him to the Lord. Glory, hallelujah. Glory. Is that all? Is that all you get? The Bible says all of the hosts of angels rejoice when one comes. We better give a little bit more than that, saints of God. Hallelujah. I share that with you, saints of God, because I saw yesterday and during this conference that what God was trying to do was to release us of all the things that keep us from being used like he used my wife and I. There was nothing special about Michael and Diane except the Spirit of God that dwelled on us, except the work he did in us and in our marriage, hallelujah, that he uses her and I to spread his gospel like he wants to use all of you. Glory, hallelujah. How many times did I say I was going to end? This is my third time I'm going to end right now. So I just want to share with you as I take my seat. You got to remember, I am a black Pentecostal preacher, so we got about 4 or 5 endings. I got 2 more left. I'm only messing with you. So as I sat there on my seat, what I've done since I met the governors, I would send him scriptures, or devotional, you know, on a daily basis, or, you know, sometimes in between, I'm too busy. And often he would either, you know, respond back or it'd be a few days later, or I would send him something that hit him right there and he'll text excited about. In fact, after he got saved, the day he got saved, I remember I prayed for him. And, you know, when I said amen, you know, he gets up because, well, I got to tell you this. Can I just take 3 more minutes? When during that governor's luncheon, a pastor got up, and you know how we can really jack up a situation and force-fed Jesus down his throat, right? Literally forced him to bow his head and repeat the sinner's prayer. I went to his office later on that week and apologized, and he said, "Oh, Michael, don't worry." He said, "I got thick skin." I said, "Well, Governor, here's why I'm apologizing." I said, "Nobody comes to Christ without understanding. Jesus said that no one comes to him except they're drawn of his Father. The Bible says we believe in our heart, we confess with our mouth." I said, "Governor, here's what we believe, and here's what we confess." So that night, this is probably, again, a year or so later, I get a text early in the morning because he was sending me texts. And this particular morning, he sent me a text this long, struggling through some things, decisions he had to make during the pandemic. Other Republicans kind of just left him hanging. They didn't want to touch it. So he's out there by himself doing all this stuff. And as I'm reading the text, I called Owen. I shared with Owen what's going on. And you know, we both said, yeah, he's going through spiritual warfare. So I set up some time to meet with him later on that day. As I shared with Owen, Owen said, "Mike, I think this can be the time. I think this is the time right here." So he and I were walking through, and he shared with me what he was struggling with. Here's what he said. He said, "Michael," he said, "I felt like I got this hole in my heart that I can't fill." We know that signal, saints, right there, right? I said, "Governor," I said, "it's time." He said, "Yeah, I think so it is." He said, "But Michael, isn't that just words?" Well, guess what he was referring to when Jesus was force-fed down. So I reminded him. I said, "Remember what I said to you? I said, we believe in our heart and we confess with our mouth. Here's what we believe. Here's what we confess." He said, "Yes, you're right." I said, "So are you ready?" He said, "Yes, I am." I prayed for him, saints of God. Hallelujah. I don't care what anybody else believes. But when I said amen, I took my hands off of him. He said, you can feel this. You can really feel this. He said, I feel so uplifted. Three times he grabbed me and said, oh, I love you. Oh, I love you. Saints of God, I saw the transformation. I don't care what anybody else sees. I don't care what they say, he's this or he's that. I know what God did with him and is doing with him right now. I share that with you, saints of God, because you don't know. It might not be a politician. It might not be someone of great stature, but it's somebody that's important to God that he wants you to minister to. But he can't do it until you let go. Thank you, saints.
Okay, we can't let this moment go. You know what God was speaking through Ricky and Danny about the peace of God and about what God wants to do. Just bow your head for a minute and think. Is there unforgiveness in your heart? What Mike just talked about, do you give time for Jesus? What's keeping you? What do you need to let go of? Are you attached so much to the world that you know more about what's going on there than you know what's going on in the kingdom? Are there hidden stuff still in your heart that you think nobody knows about? God knows. God, he doesn't want our applause this morning. He wants our response. So if God is speaking to you in any of those areas, just put your hand up for a minute. Let's not leave here without doing business with God. Amen? Okay, if God is speaking to you about one of those areas, just stand up right now. Let's do business with God. You don't have to tell me what they are. I don't need to know. God already knows. So God, we just respond. Thank you for sending Ricky and Danny and Michael. And God, we want to respond to those areas in our heart. Forgive us, Lord. If there's forgiveness in our heart, God, help us to let that go right now. Whatever that hurt was done, hallelujah, to us. Whatever happened to us, God, right now, in Jesus' name, we release that. We forgive that person. We forgive that organization, that situation, whatever it is, in the name of Jesus. God, if we haven't been spending the time, we ask you to forgive us, God. Forgive us, Lord. Whatever the attachment was to the world, forgive us for spending more time in that than we were spending with you. We ask you to forgive us, God. And the hidden things that we think nobody knows, Lord, you know. We ask you right now, Lord, forgive us for that. In the name of Jesus, just lift your hands up. Both your hands above your head is a sign of surrender. I surrender, God. I give this to you. Hallelujah. And in the name of Jesus, the Bible says, if you forgive the sins of any, they're forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they're retained. In the name of Jesus, be forgiven. In Jesus' name, you are forgiven. In Jesus' name. Now just receive that forgiveness. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Let's give the Lord a hand. He's worthy of our praise. He's worthy, hallelujah. Isn't that good? Okay, you can sit down for a minute. Don't you feel better? Do you feel the peace come? It's back. Don't give it away. Right? Don't give it away. All right.
Jean.
Did I hear that all the time? Hi, Jean. Hallelujah. The Lord loves you. You have such an open heart. You open your heart. You open your home. You open everything to others. You've wondered, Lord, what about me? Lord said, man, I'm so aware of you, Gene. You have no idea how I'm aware of you. And I've seen you. I've seen the things you've done when nobody else has seen. I've seen your heart. I've seen how you care and you love. The Lord said, today I acknowledge you before men because I'm pleased. Hallelujah. And there is nothing that you do that I don't see. And I'm pleased, says the Lord. Hallelujah. So just receive God is honoring you before men. Hallelujah. Because you love him so much and because of your servant's heart. And the Lord sees that. So just receive that from God. In Jesus' name, he loves you. Thank you, Father. Isn't that good? So good.
Gene told me, I want a word. I watched other people getting a word. I want a word. So at 3:30 this morning, I said, Lord, I know what she does. I know she works hard. I know lots of times her life is hidden with many people that other people wouldn't want to go and touch. And I said, I ask you, Lord, that you would give her that word, that she wants it, and that she asked for it, and that you would do it. And I said, Lord, I would even ask that Owen give it.
Wow.
You have anything, Mike? Okay. See, I know these people real well, so it'd be better if it comes through you.
This is, what's your first name again? Robin. I knew you'd been here all week, but I really didn't notice you until last night at your house, and you began to share some things with me. All right. The Lord wants you to know that not only have you been forgiven. Sister, come here. Crystal, come here. Glory. Get over here. Glory, hallelujah. So, I've heard this from a wise man with white hair and white beard say to me once, some people it's better taught than caught. Caught than taught. It was an echo when you said it, so that's why I was back. But what you experienced in that situation had very little to do with you. Had very little to do with you. But God allowed it so that others can see this type of relationship in such a time as this. Because how deep it went down the hurt in your heart, and how sincerely you realized the hurt that was in her heart. Glory, hallelujah. See, often the world shows that it's white men and black men that are battling against each other, and that's all we focus on. But it's a whole thing, saints of God. And so what the two of you have, you need to really mirror. You need to model that, display that all over the place. Go out places together. Go shopping together. Sit out in a restaurant together. Let people see. Jesus said, they will know you are my disciples for the love you have one for another. Because there are some women, both of color and other ethnic backgrounds, who are struggling, not being able to cross those barriers. But just the very fact you guys are sitting down somewhere and they walk by and God's going to have them just look. You won't even have to speak, but it'll plant a seed in their heart. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for what you've done in them. Thank you for what you've allowed. Thank you for that. Lord, your word says that you, only you, can cause all things to work together for the good of those who love you and are called according to your purpose. And Lord, not only did it work out for their good, but it was for your purpose that they went through it. And Lord, I just pray that you would sanctify this word today in both their hearts and their mind. Give them wisdom. And when it is time for them to speak on this issue, Lord, you give them the words. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
We okay?